box? Who's in the box? What's in the box?
I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in.
No. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
You're staying. This isn't a democracy anymore.
This is now the United States of
EMZT Radio.
They mostly come at night. Mostly.
Welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio. I am Bane Hellborn with my partner, the infamous MJ.
Oh my goodness. I had nothing, sorry. I usually have a witty entrance. I don't have one this week. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's your thing. That's why I give it to you. You do it.
I know I am the spawn of Negan and Crowley combined, but you know, sometimes even Bruce Campbell can't write one-liners all the time.
Yeah, Bruce actually does. He goes like, fuck it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of one of those weeks. I mean, we're recording this the day after Thanksgiving. We can go ahead, full disclosure. Our interview with Sarah that's coming up was done on Thanksgiving Day. We're recording the rest of it the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So, Bane and I are both in turkey coma mode. So.
Yeah.
Sorry. The wit machine went away.
Yeah, it's still sleeping.
It's still on the couch in its tryptophan coma. So yeah. So anyways, yeah. Happy. I hope your day of slaughtered bird was good.
Oh, ours was great. It was so. It was seasoned and it was so juicy, not dry. It was just. Even my mother ate some.
Oh my.
And she doesn't normally eat meat, but she didn't care. She ate quite a bit of turkey.
That's good. Now yeah. I have to drag you down south eventually because you have to try the fried turkey.
Ooh.
Yes.
Okay.
And just for the record, only 3 houses caught fire around where I live when it comes to the fried turkey. So. That's down significantly from the last 2 years, okay?
Yeah,
please be,
yeah.
Just a quick EMZT PSA. Please be careful when you're frying a turkey. Try not to drink, first off. Hey, y'all, watch my beer. That's not a good time to have somebody hold your beer, okay?
No.
Second of all, do it far enough away from the house. And here's the third thing. Don't do it around flammable objects, okay?
Yeah.
Grease hot. Oh my god, grease hot. There you go. Yeah, public safety announcement from EMCT Radio.
And if this has already happened, oops, we missed it.
Yeah, and if this has happened to you, I hope you paid your homeowner's insurance. Although I'm not sure it pays for that. They're starting to add turkey clauses here.
I hope you have good medical insurance, too.
And if you did, please put it on YouTube. Anyways. That's almost... I'm serious. That's the turkey fryer fails. Where nobody gets hurt, people. Where nobody gets hurt. And the Black Friday riots are two of my favorite things in the world to watch on YouTube. I'm not even going to lie. I will sit there and watch people fight and beat the shit out of each other for, you know, something that's probably $20 on any other day.
Mm-hmm.
But they get it for $199. Aren't you glad you don't work in retail?
Yeah. Yeah, it would suck.
Yeah, we're 2 Black Friday veterans in the area of food.
Yeah. Now, I stay in when it's Thanksgiving, Black Friday. I stay in. Screw it. I'm not going into town. No way.
Yep. Same here.
Yeah.
Anyways. thought we would wax poetically about our Thanksgiving there for a little bit. No, I actually went out to eat. I know I'm an asshole because I made somebody work on Thanksgiving so I could, you know, not cook. But truth of the matter is, hey, I did, now I will say this. I normally, like, buffets, I still tip at buffets.
Yeah.
I have a rule. Like, delivery and buffet usually gets a $5 tip. Because, I'm cheap, all right? I don't order a lot of stuff. Like, $5 is still in the 20% range. Okay?
Yes, it is.
So nobody comes shit on my doorstep because I give even the Domino's driver gets $5. All right?
Absolutely.
Because that's gas money, all right?
Yes.
Plus the Domino's is like 2 miles from my street. Okay, So I'm paying to be lazy. All right, well, even the Pizza Hut guy, where the Pizza Hut is literally within walking distance of my house, he gets $5 too just for coming across the street. So,
well, that's very nice. Yeah, that's very nice. I live outside, a little outside of town, so I always give $5 or more anyway.
Yeah,
because it's a trip.
I'm lucky. I'm lucky. I have 3 pizza places that are within like the delivery zone or whatever. Anyways, in buffets, I usually tip $5 too in the buffets because, I mean, they still come around and fill your drink. And
yes,
they do a great job, and they're pleasant people. They're wonderful people. But, you know, I did double my tip yesterday.
Good. Good. Yeah.
Just because it was Thanksgiving.
We normally go out Thanksgiving. Like, it's a whole family tradition. We go to a buffet thing. It's a big do. And my dad usually takes care of all that, and he likes to tip $10 or more for buffet. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like you know, if I go out for the holidays, I always tip more. I always tip more on a holiday because those people have to work, and that's just, you know, I'm being an ass. Basically, I feel like I'm being an asshole, and that's my asshole tax.
There you go. So. Well, that's nice of you. That's nice.
See?
Yeah.
And I can do it without the government passing a freaking law. All right. Anyways.
Yeah. I know. Doesn't everything have to be spelled out for people, it seems like?
Apparently so. So.
Jesus. I mean, it's the whole thing with this tipping business for pizza deliveries. Okay, nobody understands how it should go. It's like, if you're near town, like within, I'd say 1 to 3 miles near the near the delivery, it should be $2 to $3. Anything 5 miles or more should be $5 plus. I mean, that's how it should be.
I agree with that because that's gas money. Guys, I mean, we can go full disclosure here. You work for Domino's.
Yeah.
Do you guys get reimbursed in gas money?
We get paid mileage, which is the delivery, getting paid per delivery.
So technically the answer is yes.
Technically yes, but it's not really enough for gas is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's like any normal salesperson that works in corporate radio.
Yeah.
You get mileage, you don't get gas, you get fucking mileage.
Yeah, so.
Which is basically the company's way of saying, shut the fuck up, quit whining, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but yeah. The mileage we get is definitely it sort of covers like half of gas is what I'd say.
Yeah.
And the rest of it is tips from customers that covers the rest of it.
Right. So basically we're just trying to tell you, don't be an asshole. Tip your drivers and tip the people at the freaking buffets too, man. I know they don't do much for you, but come on, man.
Well, they clear the table for you. They take all your dirty plates from you.
They take your half-eaten crap.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
And they fill your drinks, especially if you have more than 3 or more people. I mean, that's a lot of work.
Oh, God, yes. Absolutely. You know, so... And also, I know Uber drivers love me. Because I always tip my Uber driver, too. Always tip your Uber drivers. Always tip your taxi people. And your Lyft drivers. Always tip your drivers, people, because you never know when you need, when they're going, you're actually going to end up being back in their car again.
Mm-hmm.
So, and especially if they're really, because I don't know, maybe it's the word's gotten around with the taxi people and the Uber people that I tip because they're all nice to me.
Of course.
And I tip, and on that I tip based on niceness. Mm-hmm. And there are times where I don't feel like I want to be in a conversation, and so if you can pick up on that vibe, I tip you more. But most times than not, I'll be nice to you. I'll have a nice conversation with you. If you can have a nice conversation with me, it's cool. I'll give you a tip. All right, just be nice. Don't be a jerk ass. All right.
Yeah. When people in the that get tips, they always spread the word of people who tip really well. If you treat them nice, I mean that's what I do when I'm like, people, my coworkers are going to the big tippers that I usually go to. I'm like, okay, you need to totally supply him with all these extras. You be extra nice to this person because they give money, and they're like, okay.
And also, unless you're too sick to move out or too sick to get out the door, meet your delivery driver outside.
Yeah.
Be safe.
Yeah,
be safe.
That usually helps because when they're at the door, they forget to put the dogs away, they forget to put the cats away, the kids are running around. So
that's the main. But see, that's the main reason why I meet my delivery driver outside is because we have a dog.
Yeah,
she's a little barrel of energy. She's her bark is a lot bigger than her bite, but the problem is she's a barrel of energy, and sometimes don't realize how energetic she is. And if you leave the gate door open, she might end up down the street. So saying that she would. I mean, she's a really, and she's not an undisciplined dog by any stretch of the imagination. Really smart animal. But, you get those little, and especially those little yappy dogs. They have too much energy. They have so much energy. And it doesn't matter. They could be running in a dog marathon, and they could run about six more. And they just, they're always little dynamos of energy. So, anyways, that's why I meet the delivery drivers outside. We've been waxing poetically now about this for 10 minutes.
That's great.
This is awesome. Yeah.
But this is this is what people need to know. Yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But anyways, I think we can now get into some horror-related activities.
Yes. Shall we take are we going to take a break, put music here first?
No.
No?
Okay. Let's yap for a little while. Let's rap.
Let's yap some more.
Because we have a big problem.
What's the problem?
The ratings for The Walking Dead seem to be sinking faster than the Titanic.
That's right.
I read this week that The Walking Dead ratings for the last week's episode is literally half of what... Now, don't get me wrong. I say this with a caveat. The ratings were half of what they were for the season premiere, because obviously it was a Who Shot JR moment. But it's literally half. And even with half, it's still the highest rated show in cable.
Yeah, of course.
Which makes... Now, I have given to you one of my two theories on why this season is going down faster than a Bangkok hooker. At an American business convention. But okay. The one I gave you was, I think the women are now turning it off because as much as they love Daryl, first off, we're seeing Daryl in positions that we don't want to see him in. Mm-hmm. He's actually really in very helpless positions, and we don't like that with Daryl Dixon. We like Daryl to be the badass.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the women are angry that Glenn is dead. I really think that if it was just Abraham that met Lucille and Glenn was spared, I think the ratings would be higher right now. I really believe that. That's one of my theories.
Well, because it's, number one, it's breaking up the most dynamic couple that was on there. Right. It's Glenn and Maggie. Oh,
absolutely.
Glenn and Maggie,
But see... But that's kind of what sparks my interest a little bit, because look at what Maggie's involved with now. I mean, she's got that in with the Hilltop group. And now she's lost her husband, and it seems, and we haven't seen a lot of Maggie since that night.
Right.
And I'm kind of wondering what kind of dynamics are going on in her head. What kind of a Maggie will we see? Because remember in the beginning, you could almost call it a Carolization of Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, because remember how Carol was in the beginning?
Yeah.
Weak, fragile. Yeah. She would let her husband beat the crap out of her.
Yes.
Because she just didn't want to upset the apple cart. She would do whatever. But then over time, we got past the farm, and then we got to the prison, and Carol slowly, slowly became this badass.
Yes.
So I wonder.
She's self-sufficient. She can take care of herself. She is definitely not weak anymore. I mean, just.
Right.
Just the last few episodes from season six that I saw that she didn't want to kill anymore, but yet she still took out all these ambush people on her own.
Mm-hmm. She did. She took out a lot of saviors, and even with Carol, and I know we're veering in 55 different directions, but even with Carol, and this is why I think this is the most interesting season yet. Even with Carol, Carol now has to figure out how she's going to interact with the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's kind of skeptical about the kingdom. She doesn't like Ezekiel because she thinks Ezekiel's kind of doing this dog and pony, which he's actually kind of admitted. He's doing this dog and pony show to keep the people from losing hope and you know, turning on, I guess, for lack of a better term, turn on the leadership of the kingdom when they find out that they've been kind of bowing to Negan. But, mm-hmm. you know, Carol's not buying the bullshit.
Nope.
She's just... We've seen times where we got the real weak Carol at the end of season six, but now she's kind of back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like she just... She doesn't get why it's happy playtime at the kingdom when the real world is shit. So I think we're having a second snapping of Carol.
Mm-hmm.
But with Maggie, she never really was weak.
No.
Per se. Now, she has become vulnerable since she's become a mother. Or a future mother. She's not quite a mother yet. But I've never seen her as... I've never really noticed her as weak. But at the same time, I'm kind of noticing the same thing that happened to Carol is now happening to Maggie.
Yeah.
Every time somebody fucked with Glenn, Maggie just got
was the first stronger. One to jump ahead and kick ass. Yeah.
Yeah, and then near the end of the second episode of this season, we almost had a Maggie Tatership.
Yeah.
Because now we've seen Rick in a very vulnerable position.
Yeah.
And Rick right now is probably at his weakest, even crazy Rick. Right after he lost Lori, wasn't this bad.
No. No.
And now we actually see Rick trying to talk people into, we gotta accept this, we gotta accept this. And it goes back to what we saw two or three weeks ago when he dropped the Jerry Springer moment. I know Judith isn't mine. I know it's Shane's daughter.
Yeah.
I know Lori was screwing with Shane.
Yeah.
It's like, what are we seeing now? Are we seeing, literally, like I said, I think we're seeing the weakest Rick we've ever seen.
Yes.
And to me, that's what makes it so interesting this season is I want to see where it goes with Maggie. I want to see, you know, if Daryl finally, I guess for lack of a better term, breaks. Hmm. And becomes part of the saviors.
I don't know. I don't think he could do it.
Rick regrow his balls?
Oh, Rick, like when he was crazy Rick and lost his way after Lori died, he just had to take some time to figure it out. And
that's when we got Farmer
come back.
Rick.
Yeah, he'll come back. And Maggie, I'm sure she's trying to plot. She's going to plot her revenge. She wants She wants to kill Negan. I'm pretty sure.
Well, I think they all do.
Yeah, but I mean, she'll want to do it because he killed Glenn. That was her husband. They survived how many seasons together? What is it? Three or four?
They've been together since season two.
Yeah.
So it's actually about five seasons.
Five seasons together where they've come so close to dying, each of them, but yet they've managed to stay together, hold on, and come out strong. But now Glenn is gone. He had his head bashed in. And, she's not going to she's going to find her way, find her strength. She's going to figure out how to get to Negan. She's going to, I'm sure she's going to want to slit his throat.
And I'm used to, in getting back to the ratings thing.
Yeah.
I'm used to that. I'm used to seeing the ratings like slowly drop because people are kind of like me. We get the season premiere and then we get about two or three episodes in and then you get those middle episodes where they have to start building the story.
Yeah.
And it's all foundation building and you're just all going, oh my God, this is a chore. Oh my God, this is a fucking chore. You know, you have to survive those middle episodes where they're building the story. And which could be the case here. It could be the case of normal viewer drop off. I mean, now we're in season 7, for crying out loud. And this is where a lot of people that were kind of diehard, they kind of drop out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was kind of one of those people. I didn't think I'd make it past season 6, to be honest with you, until they did Negan. And that's my other theory. And this theory I don't like. And if it's true, it'll piss me off.
Uh-oh.
But I really feel this way. And that is, Negan is so over the damn top when it comes to being... you almost can't take him seriously as a bad guy.
Yeah.
You want to... It's not that you want to like him, because he is a horrible, despicable human being.
Yes.
And it comes across. But he's just so over the damn top. And I think a lot of people are like... I'm not supposed to be this entertained by a bad guy. It's almost like Moriarty from Sherlock. In this, the BBC series Sherlock. That Moriarty was so over the top. I loved the character Andrew Scott played, the Moriarty Andrew Scott played in Sherlock. But he was just so over the top. But then they realized, they figured out a way in season 2 to kind of rein him in a little bit. You know, until we got to the Rickenbach Fall, and then he just really got over the top again. But I think what it is it's just, we're getting these one-liners, these epic one-liners, and it's probably becoming too much on some people.
Yeah.
In the fact that, you know, I go back to 2 weeks ago where they're raiding Alexandria and Negan looks at Rick and goes, I just shoved my dick down your throat and you said thank you.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of getting it. I think if I was to do more Negan, it would be more like Crowley. Now, granted, Crowley's kind of the good bad guy. But at the same time, Crowley's very subtle about his put-downs. And it's still funny as hell. It's still entertaining. And I think that's probably where the guys from The Walking Dead have kind of gone off the deep end a little bit. They're getting a little too carried away with Negan.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Negan has to show his ultimate strength. That he's letting these... I mean, Rick's crew has defeated some severe... bad guys with his little
governor,
group.
Yeah,
I mean, they've been through some severe shit and killed everybody. Now Negan, he seems to have all his bases covered, and he keeps letting them know, yeah, you guys are fucked here. Just don't even try. Don't even try.
Exactly.
Don't even try. Yeah.
That's a better way of putting it. Yeah. He's the schoolyard bully.
Yeah.
That goes out of his way every day to tell you, I'm stronger and I'm better than you.
And I've got you in a fucked position. Yeah. You cannot you cannot come back from. Yeah. Yeah.
And after a while, you kind of start rolling your eyes at it. You know, like, okay, whatever, there's sunshine. Well, eventually, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, that's probably why the ratings have dropped, is because Rick usually comes back really quick and figures out a way to kill these assholes, you know, and get on
and,
with it.
Yeah, and we've got a Rick now that's basically, and I understand what Rick's doing, and yeah. I understand his thought process here. It's like, look, okay, we're outnumbered.
Outgunned.
We don't, yeah, because, well, let's be honest, the Alexandria people, short of two, don't know about the kingdom. They know about the hilltop, but yeah. they don't know about the kingdom.
Right, right.
So they don't realize, you know, so we're at that point right now, and I think this is where so many people are jumping off the ledge way too quickly of this season. And you know me, yeah. I've never defended the lull part of any season of The Walking Dead before.
No, you haven't.
And that is eventually, and at the speed they're going, by the middle of the season, they're going to realize that the kingdom is there, and then they're going to have three different groups. And if they even go more true to the comics, mm-hmm. you're going to have another group, the DC Safe Zone, that's also uh-huh. being bullied by Negan.
Right.
And that eventually somebody's going to have to coordinate these guys together to overthrow Negan.
That'll be up to, it'll possibly be up to Maggie to do that, because Rick is incapacitated.
Honestly, in a way, I think you're right.
Yeah.
But I also, you know, I think Rick is also kind of laying in wait.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like go along to get along. You know how sometimes you've done that with people? You do business with people you hate.
Yes.
You'll put your head down. You'll do what's told, you know, like a boss you hate.
Yeah.
You know, you'll put your head down, you'll do what's told, but then when the time comes right and that boss needs you,
mm-hmm.
you ain't there.
Yeah.
That boss is about to get fired. You're the one that does the final push under the bus. And I kind of mm-hmm. think that's where we're going.
Well, hopefully Rick is doing.
Yeah, kind of like gaining Negan's trust and look, we attacked, we failed, we have to regroup. Let's just, until we can figure out a good plan, let's just duck, do what's told, and then mm-hmm. boom, sucker punch. So, I think a lot of people have yeah. jumped off the ledge too yeah. early here. So, I think it's time for people to regroup, calm down. Well, maybe after the holidays, come back for the second half of the season.
Well, that's right up there with. Well, it's also Negan. Negan is such, you can't come at him. So it's dragging out too long for people. I guess what's going on, because he's just too powerful, and you kind of feel defeated and a little bit hopeless, like, wow, how are they going to get out of this? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, but then again, we said that about Woodbury, too, so.
Yeah. So.
Well, you're an asshole. Yeah. Well, we'll save the other bit of news I got, but we'll save that for the end of the show. It's actually an update on Fallout New Orleans. And let's get to some music right now here on EMCT Radio. We'll be right back.
one bush knows.
Jaded Jack from Jaded. You're listening to EMZT Radio. Come, let your ears bleed.
And it's time for our indie spotlight updates. We have quite a few between us two. Yes. So let's see. Echoes of the Past.
Right.
Okay. Echoes of the Past. They've been taking it. They took it the week before Thanksgiving to MCM Birmingham Comic Con. And I didn't get an update on how it went down there.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk to them and find out.
Yeah, we'll need to get Scott on here and ask him all about it. But okay. they were 141% funded. So thank you, everybody, for Echoes of the Past. And I'm waiting for my download.
It's coming.
Salient minus 10. They are in the process of shooting. For people who ordered like the posters and t-shirts like I did, she has to reshoot the poster image of the new lead actor, so everything is running behind.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we should point out they did have some problems with the actor, the lead actor.
Well, not problem so much as that the her first choice just it wasn't he didn't seem to work out like.
Yeah.
Well, no, just he wasn't the right one for the character.
Ah.
So she had to do a recast like right in the middle and got someone who seemed more of the part, and. So they're having to reshoot everything, and then the posters and the T-shirts, they have to be the image has to be reshot, and they're going to be taking time to do those. And I bought the T-shirt, so I'm waiting for my T-shirt. Hey,
you know, Emma has shared a few photos online. But I'm guessing it's her and the lead actor. She's looking very Laura Croftish.
She does.
Yeah, she can do a really good Laura Croft. A very classy one. Not like the ones with the... And I'm not complaining about the latex models that love to do it or the cosplayers that love to do it, but she kind of pulls off more of the essence of what a Laura Croft should be.
Actually, I think so, too. She looks more of the video game character. I mean, you know, without the big cosplay, you know, endowments. Yeah. But she looks definitely more of the essence of Laura Croft. Hey, Emma, there's an idea for you. Have Laura Croft go into a tomb, like a really haunted tomb. Oh, yeah.
Where have we heard that before?
Oh, wait, anything? One more.
Yeah, you want more?
Yes, one more. So once upon a time, I had tried backing a project called 10 Seconds to Run. I think it was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. They didn't make their goal, and they gave back all the money because they were on Kickstarter as well. What they did was they privately went around and got some more funding, and they filmed, and they currently have their film on Amazon. So it's called 10 Seconds to Run. So it's $1.99 to rent, or to buy it is $4.99, and this will help them get more funding for some new projects. So
cool.
Go try that out on Amazon, 10 Seconds to Run. It's about a mechanic who's racing against time to rescue his missing daughter from a clan of small town hicks that kill and act as the middleman for a human trafficking ring. Woo.
Cool.
Oh, Zombie with a Shotgun. I found it. They're on GoFundMe. Zombie with a Shotgun. They're still trying to raise $20,000. They have $12,930. I finally got to see all the little mini episodes he did with this, and it's really good. It's brilliant.
It is. It's brilliant.
It's brilliant. And I think you guys, we all need to help get this to be filmed, because this would be an amazing movie.
Absolutely. Hey, speaking of of brilliant shorts, I've got a brilliant short for you guys to do. It's already up. Our friend John Shelton has put his Christmas special up. It's really funny, and you guys should go check it out. It's really good, and John does brilliant freaking work. Matter of fact, he's also already starting to look for people to do another sequel to Grand Macabre. So it looks like that's where he's going at the beginning of next year. It looks like that's where we're going, is another installment of Grand Macabre is coming up. So he's got the feelers out already for that. So look for that to come up shortly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just thought I'd throw that out there. So I've got a few if you're done.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Just a few more. The Basement is looking for $3,000 US. They're already about halfway there, about 30 days left on this one. They're looking for finishing funds. They promise us blood, death, freaks, in an abandoned basement.
Oh, yes. Nice.
Nice. Very nice. Followed. This is the one I really love. This is the one I called brilliant the other week. They're only at 14% of 10,000 for this, and we need this thing to really shine. Okay? It's interesting because a man is going to... Basically, the story is a man will be live vlogging his experiences in a haunted hotel. That's basically what the story is.
Oh.
So it's very interesting. I think this is the way you're going to go. They're looking for finishing funds. It's been shot. They're editing and finishing right now, and that's where the $10,000 goes. We've got a Canadian horror film coming up, The Black Donnellys. They have already reached their goal, but they're still looking for more money to help shoot. It's about the 1880s feud of the Donnellys.
Oh. So,
yes, it is. It is an actual historical fiction or historical horror.
Nice.
So there
nice.
You go. And something I gave to just a couple days ago, Theta Girl. They're based out of Columbia, South Carolina, so it's one of the reasons why I gave. 83% of $7,000. This is basically strong female leads in this one, so if you're very supportive in with females in the leads, you got to look at this one. They are saying it is a psychedelic experience thriller with drugs, orgies, and gore. That's yeah. everything. That's everything we need.
Yep.
It's everything yep. we look for on a Saturday night: drugs, orgies, and gore. And of course, and wrapping it up here, this segment. Of course, we're going to talk to Sarah here in a few minutes. Sargad is now on pre-release. You can go over to Indiegogo and go and buy yourself a copy. And I highly suggest you do it. Oh, excuse me, Kickstarter.
Kickstarter.
I yeah. highly suggest you do it.
We this did.
Yes, absolutely. We both have.
Yep.
We both are getting the poster. This is definitely worth your time to pick up.
Yes.
So go do it. Go do it now. That's all I'm going to yes. say about that. So that should do it for this segment. Unless you get something else.
Insert music here.
Okay. Insert music here. I think that's what we'll do. EMZT Radio. By the bell.
And today we have once again Sarah from the Bitches of Horror. And hello, Sarah. Welcome back.
Hi.
Hi.
Happy to be back again.
Yes. Glad to have you. And how about we talk about Sargid, the movie pre-order sales on Kickstarter?
Yeah, of course.
Yes. So, how's from what I'm seeing, it looks like you already made your goal for that and over. And you still have 30 days to go.
Yeah, that's true. We hit our goal, I think, 3 days or 4 days after we put up the Kickstarter. So it's going well, I think.
Ah, I'd say it's going great. And you've got some great perks with this. Not only DVD, Blu-ray, and also posters. And what else?
We have a special Black Friday thing with headshots and pictures of me that we'll take next week. And a special online scene that we haven't shown anyone if you order it today or tomorrow.
Oh, there you go. Thanksgiving special, nice. People.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Sarah, you've been a busy girl with all your filmings. Can you talk about that?
Well, yeah. Like, this month I've had acting opportunities in, like, 5 or 6 different film projects. These last 4 days, I've been acting in 4 different projects.
Wow.
So it's crazy. Yeah, today's my day off.
The one day off before you go back to it tomorrow. Oh.
I was like, today I'm going to watch horror movies and just chill, eat food. Yeah.
Oh. So, how was that, what was it, combat training? You were doing combat training for a film or how to fight, film fight?
Yeah, me and Xander were doing stage fighting together. We took a course because I played a character in a short film about a girl that trains MMA. So, I did some stage fighting, but we ended up like hitting each other for real and kicking each other for real. So I got a big bruise on my legs.
Aww.
But it's cool. It turned out really good.
Wow. So, are you still promised for more projects coming up?
In a few days, on Monday, I think, me and Xander will act in a scene in a short film that my friend Niklas Johansson will direct. We went to a school together, a screenwriting school.
Okay.
Yeah, me and him are doing a project based on the 7 The Deadly Sins. And that has taken us almost a year and a half, because we're doing 7 short films.
Mm-hmm.
So it will take us 3 years, and it's all horror based.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is movie number 4, and in movie number 5, I will play the lead.
Wow.
Yeah, so lots going on.
Wow. So when is Sarah getting her own, like, merchandising page? Because you've been doing these great pictures of yourself. There's these great pictures of you, at any of these projects, and I think those are movie poster worthy. You should start selling those.
Oh, thank you. Well, I might think about that. That was a really good idea, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here to help.
Yeah, thank you.
I just can't follow through on it, but I can suggest to other people.
Yeah, but a really good idea. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you could even you can start with the 8x10s and then also do the poster size. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the poster that the cinema has, those huge posters.
Yeah, those might be
nice.
Expensive. Yeah. Okay, so what's going on with the Bitches of Horror? I know you probably took a little bit of a break because Miss Jasmine had little baby.
Yeah, she had little Luna. So yeah, but Luna is great. We are still filming episodes, even though I'm doing lots of acting jobs now. So sometimes it can go a week without recording an episode, or like a week and a half. But we try to do what we can.
Aww.
But actually, Jasmine and Jeremiah from 13th Floor have interviewed Miss Jessica Messenger. So we will be putting that up on Bitches of Horror soon.
Oh, boy. So have you brought Little Luna to a filming?
No, we haven't. But Jasmine has bought her this Bitches of Horror, what do you call it, little body? Call that body?
Yeah, the onesies. Yeah. Yeah.
Onesies, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was so cute to see.
Yeah. She's adorable.
Okay. Matt, you're up.
Yeah. Oh, I'm up. Oh, okay. I'm awake. Don't worry. I'm actually awake this time. Yeah. I remember you said you did a film doing MMA, but I also remember you used to do you actually used to be an MMA fighter, didn't you?
Yeah, that's true.
So we got to know, what was your record?
I was only an amateur fighter, so I had no professional. But I actually won a gold medal in grappling a few years back in the advanced class. Yeah.
Wow.
And I got a silver medal in like amateur MMA a few years back.
Sweet. So no Olympic aspirations is what you're trying to say?
No.
I think she can do it.
Oh, yeah. Well, come on.
But you know, injuries, and I got to focus on my filming career, and yeah.
Okay.
I got no time for MMA now.
I know.
Even though I love it, I watch every UFC event and every Bellator and Invicta. Yeah.
Sweet. We just had one here not too long ago at some regional promotion. That's really getting huge.
Yeah.
MMA it's getting really mainstream here in Sweden as well.
Nice.
That's cool.
Yeah, they just got the official okay, not just in New York but in South Carolina. They just finally just got the official okay to do the sport. So.
Oh, cool.
We got some a couple weeks ago. You have a new one. You've written a new movie, if I'm not mistaken, about mimes?
Yeah. Me and Xander have been part of something called the Popcorn Show. And we're 12 people who will make like 12 a short film in a year, so one every month. Jeez. And we all get to write one screenplay for like 4 or 5 minutes tops, and then film it in one day.
Whoa!
So, oh, sweet.
Yeah, and we film my short film Mimes on Tuesday. Yeah, on Tuesday. So a little horror short film.
Nice.
Well, without giving it away, can you give us any like details on anything without giving it away, or?
Well, it's about these two mimes, one girl, Elsa, and one boy, Amadeus. They are preparing for a show later, and the teacher thinks that the girl, she basically sucks, but she doesn't. And the teacher, like, loves Amadeus, so the girl gets very, very jealous. That's all I can say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Dana?
I like it already. Yeah.
All right, Vane, you're back.
So what's going on with Bloody Fierce Productions? What else are you doing for that?
Yeah, and Xander's company, Cooperite Productions, we're actually going to cooperate a lot in 2017 and doing lots of things together. We will do our short film called Rotten Love, where me and Xander will play a pretty weird couple having a weird night. Yeah. And then and then Xander has actually, and I will write a script for it, but he came up with the idea for a fighting movie where we follow five characters. They will have a short film separately, but they all end up in this underground fighting location because they all love fighting. So, yeah, that would be cool. And I would be playing kind of Harley Quinn psycho chick.
Nice.
That one. Nice.
Yeah. So we will focus on those two mostly, but we'll also do some side projects, and Jasmine has also lots of ideas, so we will cooperate together.
That's great. So, any more conventions? Do you think you'll be able to squeeze in any convention time, or are you doing like film conventions for Sargid?
Yeah, in 2 weeks we will go to a town in Sweden called Alingsås, and they will show our trailer for Sargid, and we will also have a little surprise. We will show them one entire scene from the movie, so they will be the only ones to see it this year.
Wow.
Yeah, so that happens in 2 weeks. So, yeah, I'm excited. We'll be having posters there and signing things and talking to all of our fans. Yeah.
Oh, that's
then Magiska Biodagen, like the magical cinema day.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, oh, it is. Okay. I always go there. They have it twice a year.
Nice. Okay. And everybody needs to go to Kickstarter.com, look for Sargid, and get your pre-order for DVD or Blu-ray, and also posters. There are signed posters.
Yes. So. Yeah, I saw that Matt has ordered his.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did
I'm
he get
to see the picture of it hanging on the wall?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I said, like I told you, I'm putting it right beside the 31 picture. I think it would just look good there.
Yeah, it'd be so cool.
Oh yeah, I gotta get mine in too. Yes, yes, yes. Because then I'll get a picture of me wearing the Bitches of Horror T-shirt, which I have next to the Sargid. Yes.
Woo-hoo. Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Anything else you'd like to add, or did we cover it all? I think we got it all.
I think you covered it all, actually.
Yeah, we got your future projects, nice. What you're doing now. Yeah. And we're mainly want to get Sargid up there. So Kickstarter.com, look for Sargid movie pre-orders. Go get yours, because we're getting ours.
Oh, cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anything else, Matt?
No, I think we've covered it all, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah, for joining us today. We love talking to you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I love talking to you guys as well. I can't wait for number 3.
And we're going to have to mix it up with the Bitches of Horror. Like, while you're talking movies, we need to get in on there, too. Talk movies.
Well, bring them on.
Yeah, and Jasmine needs to be here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Baby Luna.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. fever dream. I feel your heartbeat as the silence screams. You are waiting for your fall from grace. Let me take you in my dark embrace. I walk between darkness and light, your lover in the veil of night, the secret pleasure you desire. I'm the one that you need, the vampire. Shadows in the crimson flood. I taste temptation flowing in your blood. Giving welcome to forbidden things. I enfold you black leather wings. I walk between darkness and light, your lover in the veil of night, the secret pleasure you desire. I'm the one that you need, the vampire. I'll show you things you've never seen before. Come with me now. You are mine forevermore. You are mine forevermore. Follow me. I'll show you things that you've never seen.
Can you handle midnight movies 24 hours a day?
Your death will be indescribable.
Find out on Black Flag TV. The first viral television on the web. Black Flag TV is entirely dedicated to haunting horror, science fiction, and cult movies. Broadcasting live 24 hours a day, obscure independent movies and classic horror. Make Black Flag TV your sanctuary for the horror genre.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Visit us now, blackflag.tv.
Your faces, clap your hands.
wraps up another episode of EMZT Radio. Thank you to Sarah from the Bitches of Horror for talking to us today. Part two, yes, as she calls it. And we're looking forward to part three.
of many, yes. Okay. And, of course, you can go to Kickstarter right now, pre-order Sargid at a low, low rate. And I'm not sure that when you hear this podcast, the Black Friday deals are still going on. But never know. You never know. You never might catch a good deal. You might catch a good deal. It's a good pickup for the holidays.
Yes.
Gather the kids around once. Watch it with the kids. obviously, everything that we've focused on in the Indie Spotlight, you'll be able to find in the show notes. Please look at them, study them, love them, send them money. Do what you need to do.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, I've got a bit of video game news before we head out of here.
Okay.
Interesting works coming out of Bethesda this week. In that, according to several sources, the trademark for Fallout New Orleans has been kind of pulled, so to speak.
Oh.
We told you a couple months ago on this podcast that Fallout New Orleans, Bethesda, had already gotten the trademark. Now, usually, this is how the video game world works. Usually, to prevent enterprising young video game reporters from leaking any type of spoiler out, the video game companies will usually get the trademark or apply for the trademark around 48 hours before the big news. So when people saw that Fallout New Orleans was being trademarked in the EU, of all places, some people started to wonder, are we getting a Fallout New Orleans game? Is that going to be where Fallout 5 is located? Well, the answer to that question is a maybe, because the copyright was pulled off the EU's website. So we don't exactly know what's going on. There's a whole bunch of I don't knows at the moment when it comes to the new Fallout game. Now, usually the main titles take about 4 or 5 years in between. Now, we did get a 2-year gap between Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas, but a lot of people say that New Vegas was really more of an add-on to Fallout 3, which I can kind of see. Mm-hmm. So, as far as Fallout 5 goes, I don't know. I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah.
Bethesda is being very coy about the news that they had a trademark and it was pulled.
Ah.
So I don't know if it's anything else. A lot of people are trying to get Obsidian back on. Obsidian, of course, was the one who did Fallout New Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Which was probably, I would have to say, before 4 was the most popular of the group. You know, Fallout sales have steadily increased. Like, the series has actually become more popular each Fallout that has come out. It used to be a very niche game. It was Fallout 1 was a very cultish game. Fallout 2 still kind of falls in that cult series, but then Fallout 3 really put it to the mainstream. So, are we going to get a Fallout 4 or Fallout 5, I should say, because we have Fallout 4. Are we going to get a Fallout 5? Who knows? I don't at the moment.
Yeah.
But it's well worth looking into. It's well worth keeping your ears to the ground on this one, because I honestly think sooner rather than later we're going to know something about the next Fallout series. And in reality, it kind of makes sense that it would be New Orleans, because we've had one in the Northeast. We've had, you know, basically the first three focused on the West. So we haven't seen anything from the South or the Midwest yet. So, and you have to wonder, though, would the Midwest even be livable? That would be the question. Like, you can understand places near water, coming back to life, but I don't know. At this point, I don't know if we're ever going to see anything out of the Midwest. And there's always also, you know, different Brotherhood of Steel factions. As I've said before, as I've speculated before, now we're getting closer to the Enclave. So where, you know, Fallout 4 was Institute and Brotherhood of Steel Heavy, I wonder if we're going to have learn more about the Enclave, because, again, you know, a lot of people forget the Enclave is in the Gulf of Mexico. So, right. You know, so we will definitely be seeing the Enclave, I would think, if there's a Fallout New Orleans. Or Fallout Texas. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe even a Fallout Texas.
Fallout Texas.
That could be weird. That could be really weird.
Yeah.
But thought I'd share that bit of video gaming information with you.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
And Bethesda also released Skyrim Special Edition.
Yes, so that's new Skyrim.
That's the most popular thing going out right now.
Oh God, yeah, they're. I'm sure they really want to concentrate, and I think that's probably one of the reasons why the trademark was pulled. Because they knew Skyrim, they were going to re-release Skyrim, and so basically they didn't want anything to take away from Skyrim, which I admit, Skyrim is Bethesda's cash cow, all right? As much money as Fallout makes, Skyrim makes a hell of a lot more, and I'm not a big fan of Skyrim. I'm more of a Dragon's Age guy, but...
I'm a Skyrim fan. Good.
Skyrim is fun. Like I said,
and the remastered edition has even more details in the environment. Everything looks so lifelike. That's what adds to the game. It's because you almost feel like you're in the game because everything is so real looking.
Yeah,
and it's just amazing the amount of time and detail. I mean, even wandering where you're looking up at the mountains, I mean, you can see the shadows of the trees. It's just, it's severely beautiful. It's just severely beautiful. Yeah. That's all I can call it.
That's one thing. I'll be honest with you. If there is one company I completely trust to make a horror game, it's Bethesda.
Because they're
beautiful. They're beautiful.
It's beautiful, and the attention to detail, even in like in a chink of armor, I mean, you can even see it. It's amazing what they do.
Yeah, it's what we talked about with Ryan Reynolds and Deadpool. It's like you can tell the difference between a Ryan Reynolds and a Ben Affleck when they're playing their various superheroes. Like one, you can tell has been paid millions and millions of dollars to play it, but the other one you can tell is passionate. And I think that's the great thing about Bethesda is that they're passionate. And I've noticed that too in Fallout. There are certain parts of downtown Boston that are just completely annihilated, and it's shown. And the details to houses, how they would look after a nuclear explosion. Obviously, things closer to the explosion would be vaporized almost.
Yeah. Yes.
But the trees that are down and the area of ground zero in Fallout 4, it's amazing. It is. So you're right, the attention level to detail is absolutely amazing, and they deserve a lot of praise. They really do deserve a lot of praise.
Yeah, because you know, there's some companies that just want to put their game out there and they just half-ass it and just, you know, want to get it out there, want people to see it, but it's not, the quality is not there. Not like what Bethesda does. It's just, wow. I mean, you could tell. Yeah. I mean, a lot of gaming companies have them to compete with because Bethesda wants you in the game practically. I mean, just in it to experience it better than any other game system.
Yeah. So, and to wrap up the Bethesda talk here, there's a couple other things that are coming out. I don't know about Elder Scrolls, which is one of the Skyrims. I don't know about Skyrim, but I do know that Fallout is eventually going to have VR capabilities coming up soon. So I think Skyrim's probably also going to have, because if Fallout's going to have it, Skyrim's got to have it.
It's up for discussion on that one.
I think that's probably where they want to go right now. as far as let's get the VR experience, or their AR, I think is what they're calling it now, augmented reality.
Yes.
Can't call it virtual reality anymore. I guess we just showed our age. But, you know, they want to do all this augmented reality, and, you know, now the PlayStation's got their little helmet coming out. Mm-hmm. Xbox has theirs coming out sometime next year.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting, I think, to see where a lot of the future of the franchises go. Now, as far as Bethesda goes, as far as getting into the AR experience, like we said, because of their attention to detail, I really believe they're going to have the easiest transition to
yes.
AR. With yes. EA, you know, Electronic Arts will be right behind them. But I think
yeah.
right now Bethesda's probably ahead of everybody as far as video game creation and heading towards that augmented reality where we're going to be in the next 5 years.
Yes, I agree.
Yep.
I agree.
So a couple house cleaning things before we get out of here. We have a new logo.
We do.
And that means T-shirts are coming!
T-shirts are coming!
T-shirts are coming. We are in the discussion and development phase right now of T-shirts.
Yes.
So you'll be able to buy an EMZT T-shirt soon. Soon. Yeah.
Yes.
Watch this space. That's all I'm going to say about that. Obviously, we are doing some more things with the YouTube. We're doing more things with the website. We're doing more things on the Twitter. Just really quick, for those of you who are tuning into the show for the first time, it might be a producer of independent horror and you want your stuff out there, try to get it to us by Tuesday of each week so we can start recording on Wednesday. Get it to us by Tuesday so we can, you know, we'd like to record a few segments on Wednesday and a few segments on Thursday just to get things done, and I have a plenty of time to edit for the weekend. So just mm-hmm. try to get us all that information. We will get you, I promise you, we will get, at least you'll get a mention on the show. We'll try to even get you on. So,
Definitely.
Just look out for that. Okay, just try to send it to us by Tuesday. We'll put that up on the Twitter as well, EMZT Radio, on Twitter.com. Anything else we need to promote? Break?
Destroy. No. Destroy. Cowboys beat the Indians yesterday. 31-26.
Yeah, that's being edited out. Don't worry.
Kid.
No, you're kidding.
I am kidding.
All right. Let's get out of here. Shall we get out of here?
Well, I think it's time. We've done enough damage.
Yeah, absolutely. You know the drill now. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Patreon. Get on it. Do it.
Podbean.
Love us. Podbean. Yeah, love us. iTunes, please give us a nice rating and a nice review. We will try to reply to everybody who gives us a nice little review.
Yeah.
So with that being said,
and stay tuned for another episode of EMZT Radio.
It beat up on a jelly time!
Look at me, Damien. It's all for you.
Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
Red rum.